Father, we thank you for your word. And we declare that it is life. It is living. It is powerful. And Father, we choose now to open our hearts to your word, and we say, Holy Spirit, speak. We're not only listening, but we're hungry for the words of truth and the words of life, that we may take them into our heart and that they may come into being. They may form us and shape us and direct us and lead us, that we as individuals and as a church may bring glory and honor to your name alone. In Jesus we ask. Amen. Amen. If you've been with us for the last 2 weeks, then you'll know that we've started into a sermon series called Complete in Christ Jesus. And this is how the dictionary defines the word complete: having all parts or elements, lacking nothing, whole, entire, full. That's what the word complete means. And as we've said in the past 2 weeks, imagine something that is made up of many, many different parts. If just one of those parts is missing, then that item cannot be called complete. And the verses which the Lord has been speaking into our hearts in this sermon series are from Colossians chapter 2, the 9th and the 10th verse, and those verses say these words: for in Christ, in him, dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and you are complete in him, who is the head of all principality and power. My friends, this is God's word. This is not John's word. This is not just the nation's word. This is God's word. God speaks to every person who has made Jesus Christ their Savior and their Lord. And he says, in Christ, you are complete. In him, my friends, you are whole. In him, you lack nothing. In him, you are complete. And if God speaks it, if God says it, it has to be true. God's word is greater than what we may feel or even what we may understand in our minds. And there may be times when we feel incomplete. There may be times when we feel that in our lives we lack something. That there are times when we feel we could do with more. But God's word says that in Christ dwells, exists eternally the fullness of who God is. And in him, in that fullness of God, in him where there is no lack, God is complete. God lacks nothing. He is full. In him, we are complete. We have everything that we need. We are whole. Sometimes we may feel broken. Sometimes perhaps there have been situations that we have experienced in our lives and we come through them, or perhaps we're even in them today, and we feel less than whole. My friend, here is God's word to us today. In Christ, in Him is where we discover that wholeness. It is only in and through Jesus Christ that you and I can ever experience what it means to be whole. But here is the truth. In Him, we are complete. So many people today are pursuing things pertaining to this world. Things that are natural. Things that have no eternal value. And you may be one of those people. And if so, you will know that you set in front of yourself a goal to achieve. And you achieve it. And you think, when I've achieved it, then I'll have this sense of completeness. I will have arrived. I've made it. Maybe you're viewing that as a position at work, or a level of education, or perhaps when you get married. My friend, none of those things will ever complete us. And if our pursuit of them is what we're looking for this sense of completeness, every single time we will be disappointed, because it is only in Christ that you and I can find the true completeness that is ours, that God says is ours. Only in Him. It is only in Christ that that which has been broken, maybe our hearts, not only can be healed and made whole, but can be renewed in Christ. It is only in Christ where life really takes on purpose and meaning. It is only in Christ that we find a hope worth living for. And the Bible says these words at the end of that verse, describing Jesus. It says that He is the head of all principality and power. Think about it. As those who love the Lord Jesus Christ, the one in whom all the fullness of the Godhead dwells, He is the same one who is the head over all principality and power. My friend, one thing that's missing in our world today is true security. Nothing of this world has or can bring us a sense of true security. And many people live in fear. They live in fear of bankruptcy. They live in fear of losing what they have surrounded themselves with. Friends, a great job that gives them security, pensions that provide for their future. My friends, none of those things can guarantee security, because all of them are subject to other powers. But our Savior Jesus Christ, our Lord, He is the head of all power and all authority. All other powers and all other authorities are subject to Him. In His fullness, there is no other power, there is no other authority that challenges His fullness. There is nothing that can take away from Him. He is eternally who He is. He is God in all His fullness, and there is nothing that can take anything away from Him. He reigns supreme. My friends, it is in Him that we are complete. And whilst we look to Christ for our completeness, we can know that there is nothing in this world, there is nothing of the powers and the principalities of darkness that can ever take us away from that place of completeness, because our completeness is in Christ, and Christ is the head of all principalities and all authority and all power. Some people would say that us living in Christ, our life being hid in his life, is a place of risk. And I would say, my friends, it is the safest place to be, because Christ is the only one who is sure and unchangeable. His word is his word, and it cannot fail. And when we put our faith and our trust in other things, we find that they don't have this security. We find that they fail us and they let us down. In him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and you and I are complete in him. In the first week, we looked at how our salvation is complete. Last week, we saw how that when we are born again, God fills us completely with his Holy Spirit. This week we're looking at what we're calling a complete transformation. A complete transformation. What does it mean? What does it look like for a person who has made Jesus Christ their Savior and their Lord? For some people, their understanding of being a Christian is simply choosing to follow a particular religion. For some people, it is a pursuit of self-improvement. But the Bible teaches us something so radically different to that. That when we become a Christian, when we place our life in Christ, there is a complete transformation that takes place within our heart that is far greater than simply following a religion, far greater than simply trying to improve ourselves or allow God to make us a better person. And there are four things which I believe the Holy Spirit wants to reveal to us today that are truths concerning what it means to be complete in Christ Jesus. The first one is this, that we are completely transformed from death to life. This is what the Bible says in Romans chapter 6 and verse 23. It says, "For the wages which sin pays is death." Another translation says, "The only wages that sin ever pays is death." And we need to pause there, and we need to remind ourselves of this truth, that every single person born into this world, whether they look like a beautiful princess or not, each one is born in sin. Each one is born with a sinful nature, one that is separated from God, one that causes us to sin before God. We say this as we go through Growth Track. We are not sinners because we sin. We sin because we have a sinful nature. Religion will try to change the symptoms of sin. It will try to make us a better person. But true Christianity does not deal with just the symptoms. True salvation is not just about changing our behavior. True salvation, my friend, is when God takes our sinful heart and renews it and brings us into a place of eternal life. And this is the transformation. The wages that sin pays is death, but the bountiful free gift of God is eternal life through in union with Jesus Christ, our Lord. When we give our lives to the Lord Jesus, this is the transformation that takes place. We are transformed from death to life. It is not a gradual transformation. When you prayed and you said, Jesus, save me from my sin. God, forgive me. And I choose to follow you. What happened at that moment, if your heart was sincere, is that you were delivered from death to life. You were delivered from that place of separation from God. And you were brought into eternal union with God. If you're in the habit of saying praise God or amen or hallelujah, that's a good place to do it, because that's good news. That's good news. From death to life. Not only were you transferred from death to life, but you were transferred from everything that death relates to into everything that life speaks of. You were dead in sin, but through Christ you have been made alive. Geographically, geometrically, if that is death and this is life, I'm not favoring these people sitting over here, of course, it's just an object lesson. You cannot be in two places at the same time. You are not part of death and part of life. You are not still partially living in the realm of death, but now partially living in the realm of life. You can't do that. It's not possible. And yet the devil deceives us into thinking and believing that that is what being a Christian is. And we have little phrases like, I'm just a sinner saved by grace. You know what I'm going to say? You're not a sinner. You were. You were a sinner. You were lost in death. You were separated from God. You were following after the lusts of your minds, and you were being persuaded by the sinful environment of this world to live after those sinful and flesh-like lusts. That's what you were like. But you have been transformed from death to life. Man, that's good news. You're allowed to get excited. Man, that is absolutely the best news that anybody could ever give you. How terrible would it be if we were simply on this journey trying to get away from death and trying to find life? But God says, you have received the gift of eternal life. It is ours. It has been given to us. It is not something that we earn or deserve or attain. It is a gift. And in that place of being complete in Christ Jesus, we have been given life. We don't live here anymore. It's not our home. The Bible says, make no provision for your flesh for that way of living independent from God. Why? Because you have been delivered from death to life, eternal life. Let me read this verse to you out of Romans 8. But if the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you. Let me ask you a question. Does He? Well, two people are convinced of that. But if, we'll try that again. If the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, does He? Well, that's a few more people. You need to listen to last week's message. Yes, He does. You don't have to be bashful about it. Yes, He does. If He doesn't, the Bible says, you don't belong to Christ. The Spirit of Christ, the Spirit who raised Christ from the dead, does dwell in you in all His fullness. The Spirit of life dwells in you. And since the Spirit of Christ dwells in you, the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead, He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through His Spirit who dwells in you. Man, some of you should be jumping on those chairs and running around the room right now. That is an incredible truth. This spiritual and eternal life, which has been given to us as a gift from God in Christ Jesus, has the ability and the power to bring life to these mortal bodies. Now, this flesh and blood, my wife tells me so often, is so amazingly attractive. But one day, this flesh and blood will cease to exist. And we're not talking about this body living eternally. What we're talking about is this life which God has put on the inside of us, being so almightily, there's another word for you English teachers, almightily powerful and unrestricted and unlimited that it has the ability to bring life to our flesh and blood. Some of you who suffer sickness need to hear this word. Some of you who have become convinced by a lie of the devil that you are sick and there is nothing that can be done about it, you need to hear this word of truth. That the same Spirit who raised Christ from the dead dwells and lives within your mortal bodies and will bring life. How many of you know that sickness is not the evidence of life? Does that mean that if you're sick, you haven't got the Holy Spirit living in you? No. Don't believe such silliness. But what it does mean is this. Because you have the Holy Spirit of God dwelling in you, your physical being is subject to the power of the Holy Spirit and not to the symptoms of your sickness. Amen. But it isn't just limited to that. A few months ago, we did a series called Spirit, Body, and Soul. If you haven't listened to it recently, you may want to. And it tells us how that when God comes to dwell in us and we are united as one with Christ, His life, His eternal life affects every area of our life if we will let it. My friends, we have been transferred from death to life. And We can choose. We can be deceived to go back and try and see what it's like back there in death. That's where the devil wants us as Christians to try and exist. You're just flesh and blood. These things are going to happen. And he gets us to try and accept something far less than the fullness of the life which is ours in Christ Jesus. The second thing, the second transformation is this. We have been transformed from being condemned to being accepted. Romans chapter 8 says this in the New Living Translation. So now there is no condemnation. Please look at the person you're sitting beside and say those two words to them in whatever language you choose. No condemnation. Now tell them that those words as though you believe it and you're trying to convince them. Well, I'm sure glad my life is not depending on this. No condemnation. There is therefore no condemnation for those who belong to Jesus Christ. Do you belong to Jesus? There's no condemnation. And because you belong to him, the power of the life-giving Spirit has freed you from the power of sin that leads to death. Condemnation is a result of sin in our hearts. As long as there is sin in our hearts, there is the option for me to be condemned because there's something to condemn me about. But praise God, Jesus has taken that sin. He has removed it. It is no longer part of me. It is part of that old death that I used to exist in. But now I'm alive in Christ. There is no sinful nature. I don't have a devil and an angel sitting on my shoulder. Praise God. I have a single nature. The nature of Christ Jesus. Who is life. Who has delivered me from death. Who has set me free from the power of sin. And therefore, there is no condemnation. Some of us need to stop listening to the lies of the devil, who day after day condemns us for our actions. And some of us need to be set free from our own condemnation. I'm useless. I'm no good. I'm a failure. I don't know if I'm allowed to say this in church, but I'm going to. Shut up. I'm serious. Stop lying to yourself. Start listening to what God says. Stop condemning yourself when God says there is no condemnation, because you have been set free by the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. Life would be radically different for us if we began to believe what God says about us, that there is no condemnation. Someone might say to you, well, you're not a very good Christian, are you? And they start to condemn you for some actions. Those are not the voices that you need to listen to. You need to build around you people who will lift you up and encourage you and speak God's word and God's truth to you and keep you in that place of liberty and freedom. And when you have slipped and when you have sinned, say, come on, let's go to God. Let's get this dealt with. This is not who you are. Look what it says here in Ephesians chapter 1, that God has predestined us to adoption. What does that mean? It means that everyone who makes Jesus Christ as their Lord and their Savior automatically is adopted. That's just what predestined mean. Don't get hung up on that. Everyone who follows after Jesus Christ, God has automatically pre-planned that they are adopted as sons by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. It's God's pleasure to call you and I his sons. God's not sexist. Daughters, children. But sons in the Jewish culture has a different meaning to what it has in our culture. He adopts us by his good pleasure. We don't have to persuade him, oh God, please make me one of your children. No. He does it by his own good pleasure. That's what it is to be a Christian. We were condemned. We were far from God. We were condemned to death. But through Jesus Christ, we have been adopted. Look at this. To the praise of the glory of his grace, by which he made us accepted in the beloved. Who is the beloved? It's Jesus. You see, God accepts you in him, in Jesus. So many people who say they're following Jesus, they go through times in their life when they feel that God has rejected them. My friends, if God ever rejected you as a true follower of Jesus, he would have to reject Jesus as well. Because it is in Christ that we are accepted. Not in our own merits. Not by our own goodness, our own deeds, our own abilities. In Christ. It is in Christ that God first accepted you. It is in Christ that today he accepts you. And God will never reject you because you've been accepted in him. My friends, don't give your life over to trying to impress God and gain his acceptance. There's nothing of our own nature, flesh living. There's nothing of our own self that can do anything to gain acceptance of God. Only in Christ are we accepted. The third transformation that takes place is this. We are transformed from being empty to being fully satisfied. Ephesians 3 verse 19 in the Amplified Bible says that you may really come to know practically through experience for yourselves the love of Christ, which far surpasses mere knowledge. I love how it says it. Without experience, that you may be filled through your being, all your being, until all the fullness of God may have the richest measure of the divine presence and become a body wholly filled and flooded with God himself. Without Christ, separate from him, our lives are bankrupt, empty, worthless. But it is God's will that through Christ Jesus, this transformation takes place. That not only are we transformed from death to life, not only are we now free from being condemned and we have been accepted and adopted into God's family, but we have been transformed from being empty to where we are filled and flooded with the fullness of God. And that is fully satisfied. This is God's will. This is God's will for each one of us who follows Christ, who gives our lives to Christ. That our life is not full of ourself. It's not full of ambition. It's not full of the so-called joys and pleasures of this world. But it is full and flooding with the fullness of God Himself. His life dwelling in us. His Spirit dwelling in us. The freedom that He gives, given fully to us. His forgiveness, completely setting us free from the condemnation of sin. Being transformed from death completely to life. Being filled and flooded with the fullness of God Himself. The final thing that we want to look at today is this. Being transformed from living for self to living for God. And this will lead us into our message for next week. Paul says in Acts chapter 20 and verse 24, this is from the New Living Translation, but my life, Paul says, my life is worth nothing to me. Do you know there are many Christians, many people who say they're following God who would have to finish the sentence there. My life is worth nothing. Paul says, my life is worth nothing to me unless I'm using it for finishing the work assigned me by the Lord Jesus, the work of telling others the good news about the wonderful grace of God. God has designed it so that everyone that follows Christ is not only transferred from death to life, from condemnation to where we have full acceptance in Christ. Not only has He adopted us into His own family, not only has He filled us and flooded us with the fullness of who He is, but my friend, He gives us purpose for living. He gives us a reason. He gives us His purpose for life. And the Apostle Paul had identified what it was. He was a man that was very qualified, very experienced, very successful. But he came to a point in his life where he realized that all of those things which he had attained to were actually worthless in his pursuit of knowing Jesus Christ. And Paul says, I consider all of those things as trash. And he stopped the pursuit of them. And he gave his life to the pursuit of God's purpose. So many times we talk about, oh my, how hard it is to be a Christian. So many times we talk about the sacrifice of being a Christian and the cost to us of being a Christian. I say to us as a church, let's stop talking that way. Let's not keep our focus on ourselves, which is what we do when we say it's so hard. It's so costly. It's such a big sacrifice to make. My friend, the cost has been paid by Jesus. The sacrifice has been made by Jesus Christ so that we can come out of death into life. What about the joy of our salvation? What about the knowledge of giving our lives for the purpose of fulfilling God's purpose in our life? Jesus, the Bible tells us, died by crucifixion on a cross. And there's a verse in the Bible that says this, that there was a joy that was set before Him at that time. There was a joy because He was fulfilling the purpose of his father. There was a joy because his whole life was taken up with doing the will of him who had sent him. There was a joy that came into his heart when instead of doing what he wanted to do, what his emotions and his feelings were screaming at him to do in the Garden of Gethsemane, the joy that was before him caused him to say, not what I want, but what you want. Let's not focus always on the great cost. Let's talk about the privilege and the honor and the joy that we have when God takes a hold of our lives and gives us purpose for living and gives us hope and gives us his mission and gives us his life whereby we might fulfill it. Let us know what it is to be transferred and go through that transformation where no longer are we living for self. We're not looking to satisfy our own desires, our own wants, our own cravings, but rather our lives are all about fulfilling the eternal purposes of God and Jesus Christ, our Savior. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Father, those words that are recorded in our Bibles, in your word, that say to us that in Christ we are complete. Oh God, I pray that by your Spirit, you would continue to speak the truth and the life and the depths of the truths in those words into our hearts. Father, I pray that your Holy Spirit will show us the transformation that has taken place. That we have been transformed from death to life. Oh God, that we're not trying to grasp hold of life. We're not trying to discover it and to lay hold of it, but it has been given to us as we have been immersed into Christ. Father, we thank you for the freedom that is ours. The wonderful life that you have given to us. The fullness of life. The abundance of life. That you fill our hearts with purpose. With eternal purpose. You fill our hearts with joy. The joy of not only knowing Christ as our Savior, but the joy of giving our whole life to serve you and follow you. That the people of this world would know who you are through us. Father, keep your word forever in front of us. Continuously remind us of truth that we may stay in that place of freedom and liberty. In Jesus' name we pray.